podcast service of Quaker Gap Baptist Church in King, North Carolina, where our mission is to glorify God by growing Christ-like people.
Hebrews chapter 3. Starting with verse 7. Hebrews 3, starting with verse 7. So, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion during the time of testing in the desert where your fathers tested and tried me and for 40 years saw what I did. That is why I was angry with that generation, and I said, their hearts are always going astray and they have not known my ways. So I declared an oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. See to it, brothers, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. But encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. We have come to share in Christ if we hold firmly till the end the confidence we have had. As has just been said, today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would use your word this morning to speak to our hearts. We recognize this morning that our hearts are hard at times. Lord, that we've heard enough from you at times. Father, that the seed of the word falls upon our hearts and bounces off. Lord, I pray that that would not be the case, but Lord, our hearts would be softened like clay that you can mold and shape into your image, that our hearts would receive your word willingly and grow and bear fruit. Father, teach us this morning according to your word, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, the people of Israel stood at the moment of decision. In front of them is the promised land, and it's flowing with milk and honey, just like God said it would be. And it is a land that God has promised to their forefather Abraham. And finally now, they are standing at the threshold of the promised land, looking into the place that God had given to them. God has safely promised this to them. He has brought them there safely. And think about this for just a moment. They've trusted Him completely. He has brought them out of slavery in Egypt. He has saved them. They have crossed the Red Sea. They painted the blood of the Lamb over their doorposts. And then they crossed the Red Sea following Moses. And then they came into the wilderness where they were given the law. And now they stand at the front door of the promised land. And God says to them, go and enter into my rest. I have given this land to you. Go and take it for yourselves. It's a pretty easy call, isn't it? Think again. There are giants in the land. There are fortified cities with hard rock walls in the land. There are people, civilizations with armies and weapons in the promised land. So what on earth is God thinking? What is He thinking? He saved us from slavery, and now He wants us to go into the promised land and to be obliterated from the face of the earth at the hands of giants and armies and cities. So Israel, what is it going to be? What is your decision going to be? What will you do? Will you prove that you have faith in God and that your faith in God is genuine and active and real and alive? By softening your heart before Him and moving out? Or will you harden your heart and refuse to trust Him? What will it be? What will it be, Israel? You know, you, brothers and sisters in Christ, are standing at the moment of decision. Each day, today is one of those days. In front of you is the promised land, the direction in which God has been leading you toward His blessings, toward fulfillment, toward the direction that He wants you to go, toward complete satisfaction and rest in Him, He has led you to the threshold of that place. And He says, live for Me. Now you've trusted Him. You've put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. You walked the aisle. You prayed the prayer. You went into the waters of baptism. And you've been saved. And you've trusted in Him. And now you've reached the point in your life where God has challenged you. Will you continue to walk with Me? Will you take the next step? Will you come with Me into the promised land that I have given to you to surrender yourself completely to Me? And there is a decision you know that He is calling you to make, to obey Him. Easy call, right? Think again. See, there are giants in the land. As you look down the path where God is leading you in obedience to Him, as you see where He is calling you as an individual, as a family, as a church, all you see is obstacles, giants, walled cities. I don't have enough money. I don't have enough energy. People will laugh at me. They won't understand. I'm not sure God can get me through this. And even if God can get me through it, I'm not even sure this is where I want to go. I'm not sure I'm ready for this. He saved me from eternal death. He saved me and forgave me of my sins. And now He wants me to suffer and to struggle and to go through trials and maybe to lose friends and to be branded a weirdo or a freak because I'm giving more and more and more over to Him and becoming more like Christ in a world that is less and less like Christ every day. Is that what He wants from me? So what will you do? What will you do? Will you prove that your faith is genuine and active and alive by following Him where He wants you to go, by softening your heart and trusting in Him and moving out? Or will you harden your heart, refuse to trust Him, to do your own thing? What will it be? What will it be? Now, there's a battle that is being fought today over your heart. Last week we talked about the battleground of your mind. Today I want you to see from this passage of Scripture that there's a battle being fought over your heart. And here's the question: will your heart be softened in the presence of God to do His will, or will it be hard and turned against Him and petulant? Will your heart be in such a state that you say, no, God, I will not do what You ask me to do. I will not enter the promised land. The writer of the book of Hebrews tells us that Israel blew it. That's what we just read. Israel blew it. Says, today, if you hear His voice, Hebrews 3:8, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion. Now, he's talking to Jewish people about the history of Israel, hearkening back to the days when they could have entered the promised land, but they didn't. And they ended up wandering in the wilderness for 40 years and losing a generation of people. He says, don't be like those people in that time. Don't harden your heart against God. Don't look into the face of the obstacles and the trials that are ahead and decide that it's not worth it. Soften your heart and believe in God and trust in Him and step ahead. Verse 13 or verse 12 says, see to it, brothers, that none of you, like Israel, has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. Continue on with Him. Soften your heart and let Him lead. Here's what we have to say about Israel. As we look at their history in the Old Testament, as we look at this time that they spent and the opportunities that God had given to them, we see, first of all, that they turned away from God's plan, that God had a plan for them, and they decided that they would turn away from that plan. They refused to trust God through the trials that were in front of them. They would rather avoid trials, and I think sometimes, not only Israel, but we live our lives in trial avoidance. It's what we do. We just look to step out of the way of any difficulties in our life. And God stands Israel at the promised land and says, come on in and enter my rest. And they look in and they say, no, too many trials ahead. We're going to do something else. They fantasized about what life was like without God and what life would still be like without God. And they fantasized about that. You know, they thought back to Egypt and when they were slaves. But see, they didn't remember the hard labor and the mistreatment and the injustice. What they remembered was the leeks and the onions and the cucumbers. They remembered the food of Egypt. They remembered the good times of Egypt rather than the slavery of Egypt. And they thought, you know, I'd rather be back there some days. Rather than soften my heart and follow God's plan and His direction, I'd rather go back to the days when I was unsaved and I didn't know Him and I didn't trust Him. They fantasized about what life would be like without Him. And they hardened their hearts. They had a serious heart condition. They were losing the battle over their heart because they turned against God. And that's what the writer of Hebrews tells us about. So consequently, they didn't enter their rest. They didn't get into the promised land. And for 40 years, they wandered in the wilderness, separated from God, led by Him through the wilderness, but lost an entire generation. So, believer in Jesus Christ, you have put your faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior. You have been baptized. You have prayed the prayer, walked the aisle, all of those things. You've put your heart in the court of God, and you've turned it over to Him and trusted in Him. Now, what happens to you if, as the passage says, you turn away from God's plan? What happens to you if you refuse to trust in God through the trials that lay ahead? And you avoid trials. What happens to you if you fantasize about what life was like before you had God? Or you fantasize about what life would be like now if you weren't a Christian? And what happens if you harden your heart and turn against the living God? What happens? Now you look at verse 6. Verse 6 of Hebrews chapter 3. The writer of the book of Hebrews says, but Christ is faithful as a son over God's house, and we are His house, if we hold on to our courage and the hope of which we boast. And look at verse 14. Verse 14 says, we have come to share in Christ if we hold firmly till the end the confidence we had at first. I don't know about you, but passages like that shake me up a little bit. They always have. Because it's such a huge if that's in there. It's like capital letter, bold print, if. And it scares me because it says this. Look, it says, if you continue in your faith, if you continue in the confidence that you had in Him at the very beginning, if you hold on to your courage and the hope that you had when you put your faith in Him, if you continue in Him, then you have hope. But if you do not, you don't have hope. And as we read this in the book of Hebrews, there are really four views that I know of what this means. One view that some hold to is that it's possible for you to lose your salvation. Some people believe that what the writer of the book of Hebrews is saying is this. You put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you were baptized, you were saved, but now you no longer believe in Him, you throw it all away, you fall away. The word for fall away is apostane, which we get our word apostasy or apostate from. And there are many who believe as they read the book of Hebrews that what the writer of the book of Hebrews is saying is that you've just thrown away your salvation. Now, personally, I don't believe that that's possible, and I don't believe that that's the case here. And here's a few reasons why. Look what Jesus said in John chapter 10. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. So you have a picture of a shepherd here holding on to the sheep, and there is nobody who is going to pull that sheep from the hands of God in the Lord Jesus Christ. That is impossible to grab that sheep from God. That there is security in your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's forgiven of your sins. He's given you eternal life. that you are secure in your salvation. And look at chapter 6. Jesus says in John chapter 6, "This is the will of Him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all those He has given me, but raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in Him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day." It's secure. If you've put your faith in Him, there is the resurrection, that this will be done. And who's the one that's going to do it? Is it you? No, it's Jesus. The work of Jesus Christ is what secures our salvation, not our work. And then look at 1 Peter chapter 1. "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time." What I get from these passages of Scripture, the two passages that Jesus spoke and now Peter, one of Jesus' closest apostles, is this. It's not you who holds on to God when you are saved. It's God who holds on to you. And God has a grip on you that will never slip. So if this passage here in Hebrews, the big if passages, are not telling us that we can lose our salvation, what is it saying then? What does it mean? Well, second view is this. There are some who say that this is written to unbelievers, and that what it's saying is that you need to put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ now and to trust in Him in order to be saved. I believe that that's true, that you need to put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ in order to be saved, but I don't believe that this passage of Scripture was written to unbelievers. The reason for that is because the illustration is pretty clear. Israel had already come across the Red Sea. They had already been baptized in the Red Sea. They had already put their faith in God. And now He was pushing them one step further. And this is where they turned against Him and hardened their hearts. It says in verse 14, "We have come to share in Christ if we hold firmly to the end. Just as it has been said, 'Today if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion.' Who were they who heard and rebelled? Were they not all those Moses led out of Egypt?" It's the same people who had already put trust in God to come out of Egypt. I believe it. This is not talking to unbelievers, it's talking to believers. So what's the third view? The third view is that if you fall away from God, maybe you never had true salvation to begin with. Maybe the fact of the matter is that you have just proven by falling away from God and not trusting in Him and not continuing into the promised land and not softening your heart for Him, all you're proving when you do that is that your salvation wasn't real to begin with. This is what John Piper believes, and let me give you a quote from him. He says, "Not holding fast to our assurance does not make us lose our salvation. It shows that we were never truly saved." He says, maybe we weren't saved to begin with. Maybe it was all in our head and not in our heart. Maybe we made a decision up here in our mind that we were going to follow Jesus, and because the time was right, we came down the aisle, and because we were pressured, we got baptized. But now that the chips are starting to fall in our lives and we have opportunities to trust in Him, but there are obstacles that lie ahead, we turn away from Him, our heart is hardened. Maybe we really didn't believe in Him to begin with. But there's a fourth view as well, and that is that you can lose your assurance. It's not losing your salvation. It's losing your assurance, your rest, that the people of God here in the book of Hebrews decided not to follow God into the promised land, and as a result of that, they lost their rest. See, the writer of the book of Hebrews is obsessed with assurance. This is one of his main topics here in this passage, this book that he writes. In fact, if you're open to Hebrews, look at a few verses along with me. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 1. Follow along with me. Hebrews 2:1 says, "We must pay more careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away." Hebrews chapter 3, verse 6. "But Christ is faithful as a son over God's house, and we are His house if we hold on to our courage and the hope which we boast." Chapter 6, starting with verse 11. We want each of you to show this same diligence to the very end in order to make your hope sure. We do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised. Then turn to chapter 10 and verse 23. Hebrews 10:23. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And then skip down to verse 35 of that same chapter, 10:35. So do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. And then chapter 12 and verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. It's apparent to me that the writer of the book of Hebrews knew that here was a group of people who were struggling with their obedience to God. Their hearts were hardened against him. And he writes to them, he says, look, soften your heart. Because if your heart is soft and you're obeying God and you're walking with him and you're following him, then you're walking in victory and you have assurance of your salvation when you are walking in victory. When you turn away from him, you lose that assurance, you lose that rest. So which of those four do I think it is? You know, I think it's kind of a mixture between number three and number four. I don't think you can lose your salvation. I don't believe that for a second. Because God is holding on to you. You don't have to hold on to him by your works. He is holding on to you by his grace. I don't believe that for a second. I don't believe that this passage of Scripture was written to unbelievers. I believe it was written to believers. I do believe that it's possible for a person to go through the motions of faith and later to fall away, and really they never believed. I think that's possible. But I also think it's possible that those of us who have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and are walking with him can reach a stage in our lives where we become hardened against him and we lose our assurance. We start to doubt whether we're really saved or not. And it's a warning. It's a warning. God, I believe that Scripture tells us that if we will soften our hearts and begin to obey and begin to follow him and start to walk through him, the path that he has called us to, that we will once again regain the assurance and the courage and the boldness of our faith. So what keeps us from resting in the assurance of our salvation? It's disobedience. It's a hardened heart. So in this passage, there's a warning and there is a command. The warning that you see in this passage is don't harden your heart. Don't harden your heart. And we hear lots of warnings during the course of our lives. You know, look both ways before you cross the street. You know, we read on the outside of our coffee cup, this stuff is hot and it could burn you. You know, maybe it's just a lawsuit that's waiting to happen, but there it is. The warning on your cup of coffee. Not intended for children. How many times do you see that? Not intended for children. Something should say not intended for adults. Really, but we use them anyway. No diving, shallow water. Seen that? I wouldn't eat that if I were you. Have you ever heard that before you put something in your mouth and chewed on it and swallowed it? We hear warnings all day long. Well, there's a warning in this passage of Scripture, and it's don't harden your heart. Don't fall away from God. Don't be like the people of Israel and get on the precipice of the promised land and quit. Hang in there. So there's also a command in here. It says in verse 13, encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today. That it's our job as believers to encourage one another. That when you start to see a brother or sister falling away in the faith, it is your job as a brother or sister in Christ to approach them and to say, hey, is everything all right? Something's not right. I haven't seen you in a long time. I've seen some patterns in your life that just aren't right. I love you and I don't want to see you fall away. And we need to give people the permission to say that to us as well. If you ever see me falling away from the faith, walking away from the Lord, hardening my heart, will you please say something to me? Because I don't want to go down that road. Because it could be proof that I've never been saved. Or I could lose the assurance and the confidence and the boldness of the faith that God wants me to have. The warning is don't harden your heart. The command is encourage one another as long as it's called today. Now, some of you are wondering, when's he going to get to the outline? We're going to hit that real quick right now. You've got that outline in front of you, and you've been waiting. So, 2 points at the top of your outline. The first one is this: hardened hearts produce doubt and fear. And the second one is this: that softened hearts produce confidence and conquest. See, if your heart is hardened against God, it produces doubt and defeat in your life. That's exactly what happened to the people of Israel at the Promised Land, you know, and they just stepped away. And there was nobody there to encourage them to go into the Promised Land except for Caleb and Joshua. I feel sorry for Caleb and Joshua. They were in the huge minority. There were very few who stood and said, "Let's do what God called us to do." And in every generation, there are just a few who say, "Let's step forward in faith and be God's people, and let's listen to Him. Let's soften our hearts. Don't harden your heart against Him." Just a few who say that, and the rest turned away. And because of that, they wandered in the wilderness. It produced doubt and defeat, and they were unwilling to go into the Promised Land. But softened hearts, those that listen to God's voice, hear it, allow it to penetrate, allow God to shape their hearts, are willing to step forward into the trial, into the land full of giants, because they have full confidence and conquest, victory in their spiritual life, because they are willing to soften their heart before God. So if the key is a softened heart, how do we soften our hearts? You know, we know that you buy some moisturizer if you want to soften your hands. You know, there are ways to soften things. Well, you know, how do you soften your heart? Well, here's a secret to a softer heart, I believe, that comes from this passage. Number one is embrace God's plan. Embrace God's plan. That's what the people of Israel did. They turned away from God's plan because their hearts were hardened. Well, the opposite of that is this. If you embrace God's plan, that proves that you have a softened heart. See, God has a plan for you to grow and to become like Jesus Christ and to be a blessing to those around you. That's what He has in store for you. That's what He wants for you. And He says, just embrace that plan. Soften your heart. There's a battleground. A battle's taking place over your heart today. And your plan sometimes clashes with God's plan. And the plan that the world embraces and puts into our heart sometimes is the opposite from what God would have. Soften your heart and embrace God's plan. Number two is keep faith in God through the trials. Don't let the trials cause you to harden your heart. Keep your faith in God through the trials. Israel was afraid because there were giants in the land. And we know that there are giants living in the Christian walk as well. That there are threats. That it is risky to believe in God. And the question is, am I going to push through by faith? Am I going to trust in God and continue to walk with Him in spite of the trials? Or am I going to shrink back in fear? Keep your faith in God through the trials. Soften your heart. Because it's God who we're believing in, right? It's keeping faith in God through your trials. You're not saying, "I can get through this," because you can't, not in your own strength. You're saying, "I'm relying on the strength of God to get me through these trials." Keep your faith in God through the trials. That's what the people of Israel were missing. They stood there and they looked into the Promised Land and they saw the giants and the cities and the weapons and all of these people, and they said, "The people are like grasshoppers. We can't do this. They will defeat us easily. There is no contest." And they were right. What they're leaving out of the equation was they had the Almighty God on their side. He had already promised them the land. He said, "I will be with you wherever you go." But they hardened their heart against Him and said, "Well, I'd rather avoid that trial right now." Oh, what they would have seen God do if they had stepped forward into that promised land and softened their hearts. Boy, I don't want to be there at the end of my life and say, "Oh, what God could have done through me. Oh, what God could have done through you, church. Oh, what God could have done through us if we had only stepped forward in faith and softened our hearts." Number three is go forward where God leads. Go forward where God leads. Because Israel had a choice. They could either go forward where God was leading them, or they could go back, which is what they were thinking. Some of them were thinking, let's just go back to Egypt. You know, maybe Pharaoh will be happy to see us again. Hey, Pharaoh, we're back. Maybe God will part the Red Sea. We can come back into Egypt. We'll say, here we are, Pharaoh. Put us back into slavery because that was better than where Moses wants to take us. No. And then we're going to sit by the Nile and eat our cucumbers and our leeks and our onions and get bad breath, and it's going to be awesome, right? That's what they were thinking about. And their third option was, let's just wander through the wilderness for 40 years and watch as our friends and family pass off the scene one by one by one. And that's what they had to endure because they were not willing to go forward where God led them. So folks, let's get ahead and push ahead by faith in God. Because battle-weary hearts want to quit. We want to quit. But victory is found in the hearts of those who will soften and surrender their hearts to God and trust fully in Him. His plan, His direction, His way for your life. Each day, to wake up and to say, where is that you would have me to go? Each situation in life, to say, God, what is your will in this situation? And sometimes He's going to show you that will and you're going to say, man, I don't think I can handle that. Will you soften your heart and just push ahead anyway and see where God will lead you? Because confidence and conquest come from a softened heart. A softened heart, a heart surrendered to the plan of God, to God's direction, in spite of the risks, in spite of the trials, in spite of the giants, in spite of the cities, in spite of the weapons, in spite of the people like grasshoppers, in spite of whatever trials there are ahead. Trial avoidance leads us to the wilderness, but if we soften our hearts and step into the trial, we'll see that God will work in amazing ways. And turning back is no option. Don't miss out on everything that God has for you. Surrender your heart. Soften your heart before Him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we confess today that indeed there is a battle that is taking place over our heart. And sometimes in the heat of the battle, Lord, we've laid down our arms and we've said, God, I just want the easy way out. And we've hardened our hearts against your will and we've disobeyed. Father, I pray that you'd help us to soften our hearts, to join you in the battle for these old hearts of ours. Father, that we might experience victory day by day in our walk with you. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.